Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
They also treat players like crap. You know, you don't have a lunch. Period.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, so they're just like, just eat
you
on your
get,
own?
Yeah, like you get there and you have to make time to eat in between meetings. And they're like 5 to 10 minute periods where I would literally go scoop food and put it in a cup and like just crush it real quick before I got to the next meeting.
Whoa.
It's just like there's no fun. There's no...
Really?
Well, that's what I got in trouble for saying, that they don't have fun.
The immortal Cassius Marsh. Who is still in the NFL? He's a member of the Steelers. It's odd that he's got like a podcast. He's got a regular podcast he does.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I guess the McCourty's had a podcast.
But the that line, I just looked it up to remember it, to see if I was remembering it correctly. So November 18th, 2019, the Patriots had that like ugly win against the Eagles to go maybe 7 or 8-0. Mm-hmm. And Belichick after the game, which with a direct shot to Lane Johnson, who after the Super Bowl talked about how it was fun to be on the Eagles and not the Patriots.
Yep.
He said, looked like everyone had fun out there today. So he listens to that.
He's bothered by this. He's pissed off by it.
Totally.
But it's true, though, right? I mean, like, we've talked to a million players, and Trent Brown, for instance, came back and said he appreciated wanted to play here, to paraphrase. He'd rather play here than anywhere else.
Right.
So some guys, like, love the culture. It's almost a military culture, it feels like.
Well, I mean, I think it's guys that are smart, that are self-starters, that are hard workers, that like being around similar-minded people. Like, Matthew Slater... You know, Willie McGinnis, you go from Deion Branch loved being a Patriot. You know, it's not often you get a receiver who likes to sort of fit into this culture. Troy Brown sort of created the culture. But, yeah, I mean, I think that it's not for everyone. But
Brady is so weird in particular with it because he was, again, walked the walk for so many years. But then you do have the Giselle comment about being appreciated and have fun. So, obviously, it bothered the most important Patriot of the dynasty, to the point where it had some factor in his departure.
But I think Brady and Bill know what gets the other bothered. And so I think that that was more of a symptom of issues that he knew that would get under Bill's skin than Tom really wanting to have this like crazy fun lifestyle.
Look like I have a lot of fun out there today and I'm going to play with a lot of good energy.
And, yeah,
I mean, you think about that. That's a year plus removed from those comments by Lane Johnson, and he gets to the dais after beating the Eagles, and it's like...
But Brady was miserable a lot of his time there, right?
He was miserable because the coach and he were, you know, on their last whatever. They were fighting constantly. They didn't like each other.
It was the Guerrero thing. It was
Guerrero. It was Butler. It was, I'm done with this effing guy. You know, all Brady wanted after beating the Falcons in the greatest Super Bowl win in the history of the NFL was a 5-year deal to get to whatever that would have made him 43. And Bill made him go year to year to year to year, all while creating an issue between he and Guerrero and drafting Jimmy G and then trading Jimmy G and then this whole situation.
So, but is Cassius Marsh telling the truth then?
No.
Does Bill treat his players like crap?
I don't think he does. No.
Probably Brady would say that. No, he wouldn't say it to anybody in public.
When Brady and Bill both go to Canton, they're going to be kissing each other and talking about how great the other one is. And they're also going to be writing competing books.
Because Brady's a phony. I mean, but deep down...
So, but Bill's not a phony.
He's classy about it.
Should I read the letter that he said about Brady when he went to Tampa? Do you want me to read that whole thing? You think he meant every word that he wrote in that?
I think he did.
I think that was written by Jonathan, to be candid. But
I honestly think Bill doesn't even get it. Like, he don't you think he would write that and be sincere about it? He doesn't really, he doesn't think he treated Brady poorly.
He
doesn't believe that.
Did you read the Ian O'Connor book? He thought that he could do this with any top 15 quarterback. That's the way they felt.
Yeah, that's Chris Sims, though. Right? That's what Chris Sims, who was here for a cup of coffee, thinks?
It strikes me as 100% accurate that Bill always thought and convinced the Krafts of this, that it was the system, not the player. And when Brady left, winning that first year with a new team in a pandemic with no preseason and beating Breeze, Rodgers, and Mahomes to win your seventh, I mean, if you're not going to spike the football there, then what's the point of playing? I mean, you've been told your whole life that you are a product of Bill Belichick. And you leave that room, and you go to a new team, and you win a Super Bowl in your first year.
I guess, but Bill has also said there's no quarterback I'd rather have than Brady. I mean, he has praised them a little bit over the years. I mean, generally you're right.
He played with a freaking gash the size of like a hockey puck in his hand.
That was significant. Then, you want to get back into the MCL thing now?
Okay, but so you think that Bill Belichick, after that performance in the fourth quarter against one of the best defenses in the NFL, down 10 points, hitting Danny Amendola twice in the back of the end zone to go to your ninth Super Bowl, or eighth Super Bowl at the time, and the head coach is asked about it, and he says it's not open-heart surgery. You think that that is the appropriate thing to say?
Well, in Bill's mind, it is. I think
I'm not asking about Bill's mind. I'm asking about you. When you observed that, do you think that that was the right thing to say?
How can I knock it? He won six championships.
How can you knock it?
It's his method has worked.
Of course
it has. His method of just, like, ignoring BS and not playing into drama has worked.
So he calls Teddy
Bruschi... Stifling personalities.
So he calls Teddy Bruschi the, quote, perfect patriot. Did that hurt the team?
No, but I think he did that because he feels like Bruschi was the total like perfect soldier for his method, right?
If Teddy Bruschi never played with Tom Brady, how many Super Bowl rings does he have?
You heard Wiggy say they would have won with Bledsoe.
So he has one instead of three.
Maybe Bledsoe wins all three of those. I don't know. I
mean, Tom texted me and said football's fun again.
I mean, he's been a head coach for how many years on teams that don't have Tom Brady? He's won one playoff game and he's under 500. I mean, to say that this system is the reason for all of it has been proven demonstrably false.
Well, no. I mean, you can't just take Brady's 1 year of success in Tampa as saying you can always win that way. I'm sure, wouldn't you agree, there's a lot of examples of an undisciplined team in the NFL having talent but no discipline that doesn't win because they have no discipline.
Right. Brady brought discipline to Tampa. They were one of the most penalized team the year before. They were the least penalized team when he got there.
Yeah. I would agree with that. But they also, obviously, they had more fun, quote unquote. There, I bet you they weren't as strict. I know. I mean, I covered Arians for a lot of years. I'm sure he wasn't like Belichick in terms of grinding them to a nub in practice and things like that.
And I think not knowing anything but just guessing that when Brady was here, he pushed back on certain things to loosen things up a little bit.
Yes.
And he was told, no, the reason why we win is because we're focused in the Steelers and the Cowboys are idiots.
Right.
He leaves, has fun, wins a Super Bowl, and of course he's going to rub it in his face. But I'm not doubting that Brady learned a lot of that discipline from Bill Belichick.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, I'm not saying that this was like a creation out of the womb that he was going to be this guy. I think
Belichick deserves credit for Brady's last Super Bowl.
I'm sure. I bet you Tom would say that he, you know, he learned a lot of things from Bill.
I don't think Tom would say that.
I mean, maybe not today, but when his career's over.
Maybe someday.
I mean, I think what really made Brady Brady was his experience not getting recruited, going to Michigan, fighting with Henson, and dealing with that sort of cauldron, outperforming a guy but not getting the playing time, being voted captain. I mean, watch, if you get a chance, it's on YouTube, watch the Michigan-Alabama Orange Bowl, Brady's final game with Michigan. He's down two touchdowns twice. It's almost identical to the Ravens playoff game.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, this guy. And they come back, they win the game, they beat Alabama. And that is really where then it's obviously accentuated when he's the 199th pick, all that. But of course Bill and Brady benefited the other immensely.
Well, I guess the essential question is Belichick fearing that his way of doing things is under attack from guys like Cassius Marsh? It felt more severe when Lane Johnson did it. At that time, it felt like it was peaked. Like, Bill's losing it. Guys don't want to play for a coach that handles business this way. Well, and it's failed with Patricia, and it's failed with some other of his assistants, right?
Totally. And I think
McDaniels, when he went to Denver.
I mean, completely. He was despised by that whole team. The beat writers out there hated him.
Right.
But go back to the Super Bowl 52. I'm not doing the Butler thing, but that was a Butler game. And after that game, You have Brady walking on the walking off the field, reportedly yelling, "I'm effing done with him."
Right.
He does the Oprah interview with Jim Gray sitting in the corner with the big headphones,
right,
and the Super Soul Sunday, all that stuff. The dynasty at that point, we thought, was at a crossroads.
Yep.
So when you throw the Lane Johnson comment into that, Bill is like, you know,
what
I'm sure.
What did Wickersham say? Infinite sadness.
Right, infinite sadness. You have the, what was it called? The immovable object and whatever else with the Guerrero, Brady, Belichick thing.
So what is it now? Like, Cam has embraced it. They got all these free agents. You've got Cassius Marsh saying they treat people like crap. That's not going to stick to him because it's Cassius Marsh. But it's still a factor somewhat. Like, there's still a general question of, can Belichick's way carry on the next 5 years to get him to beat Shula's record?
And the one thing that should give Patriots fans pause to be like, maybe something great can happen this year, is the fact that the year after that, they win the freaking Super Bowl when we all thought it was dead.
Amazing.
The Jimmy G's now with the 49ers. Brady and Bill hate each other. They start the year poorly. They are, you know, totally an afterthought in the playoffs when they host. The Bills beat the Eagles, or the Eagles beat the Bills, so they get the home field. And then they blow out the Chargers. They go to KC in one of the best games you'll ever see, beat Mahomes, and then they beat the Rams and win the Super Bowl.
That and Bill's defense, you will say,
absolutely.
Big part in that one.
Huge. And I think that was Bill's, outside of the first Super Bowl, his most impressive year.
Okay. So maybe that success is carrying him to some degree. You still have players that were around and still buy into that. Devin McCourty is still here from that team, obviously. There's still some pieces left in it. Hightower.
But the concern is that the team does start out slow, even with Brady, even the great... Even early on in 2003-04, they were always at their worst at the start of the year. So you have this number of new players.
Yep.
You have, you know, a question. Maybe at best you have like a 70-30 split because you're going to want to have Mac Jones taking some first-team reps to see what you have.
Yep.
So it's not going to be the ordinary preseason for the starting
quarterback. There will be drama.
There's going to be drama.
And there's a bunch of new guys that you worry about. And Matt Judon, to me, is a very significant figure in this. And this comes up on Reamer's list. Now, here's Cassius Marsh talking about being the most hated player. This is something else he said, which I think is interesting. But I think it ties into this year's team a little bit. So here's Marsh talking about hatred.
Patriots fans hate me, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. If you are probably one of the most hated former Patriots.
Really?
Up there. Top five, at least.
Top five most hated.
100%.
And did you say no fun after you left or while you were there?
It was after I left.
Okay.
Well, because here's the thing. Like, over there, nobody says anything publicly because they've won so many championships.
Sure.
So you don't want to upset the fan base. And, like, because after you win a Super Bowl, you know, you can get paid for signings in New England for the rest of your life.
Sure.
You know? Because you're a Super Bowl champ, you know? So it was funny. Like, when I did that article, a lot of the players, like, thanked me for like making it public on how bad they treat guys.
Yeah. I call total
BS. I mean, they win games, so you just really can't argue with, you know, championships.
A lot of guys thank me. How many?
I mean, who was the interviewer? Was that Tom Segura? I think we found that out. Some stand-up comic.
Yeah, he's good.
Like, where the hell was the who?
Who are you?
Which player? Do you think that Tom Brady or Bill Belichick even know who Cassius Marsh is?
Brady probably texted him. Great job, Cassius. I totally agree.
Yeah, that is total and complete.
Brady probably put him up to that podcast, by the way. But anyway, one of the guys on the most hated, Cassius Marsh is not obviously one of the most hated, I don't think. I mean, he's probably getting heat on Twitter from a couple Pats fans, whatever.
He is irrelevant.
Who this is, what you know.
But who are the most hated Patriots of all time? Now, Reamer put the list together, and I think this is number one. I don't think he did these in any order. But he puts Adalius Thomas number one, mostly because he was a bust, but also because he did have the no-show. Week 14 against the Panthers, he and four players were sent home as a result of being late for a morning meeting in snowy weather. He was deactivated also for a game against the Titans. Then when he left, he blamed Belichick for using him poorly. Quote, "I definitely didn't have fun. I want to come somewhere where I'm wanted and where I'm going to have fun. That's where I want to be," end quote.
And,
he sucks.
Quick note, didn't play anywhere else. His career ended when he left the Patriots.
Ended.
So he obviously couldn't have fun anywhere else. He left, and that was a weird one, because early on in that year, there was a Sunday night game. Oh, God, I can't remember. I think it might have been the first game after the Jets when the whole world exploded with the Deflategate. You had Armin Katayan interviewing Bill before the game, and you have Sunday night game against the Chargers, I believe.
Is this 08, 09?
07.
07, his first year.
So he has an interception, runs it back for a touchdown, and he runs like past everybody on the field. I really hope I remember this. I was drinking at the time. But anyway, I believe that that's what it was. And he was like this freak. Everybody was like, wow, he was the next coming of Roosevelt Colvin, but a little bigger, a little more inside, but just as fast.
Yep.
And he was a total bust after that.
Okay, so he played 3 years here. Do you agree with that, that he's hated? I don't know about hated.
Yeah, the Jetsons line is pretty well remembered. I didn't even know he did the it wasn't fun here. I hadn't heard that. But he was sort of the poster child for the team that couldn't achieve the perfect season.
But then they go out and get Judon, another Raven. And it's almost like history repeating itself. Isn't that, and based on what we heard from him, with his blow up with Jameson Hensley, the Ravens reporter, I mean, they got into a very public spat of like blackmail.
Right.
It was bizarre. And so he's not a very cuddly guy. He comes in. If he doesn't have success, it's a risky signing by Bill. This guy has to play well here to have fun, to buy in and not be the next Adalius Thomas.
Right. Especially if you're on a team where it gets ugly early, right?
He's, yep.
And the issue here is that Judon's a guy that was franchised last year, I believe, by the Ravens. He's a well-paid guy. He's got plenty of money. He doesn't need the sort of... He's not doing the sort of reclamation project that a lot of older players do when they come to a Belichick defense. You know, they need a big year, and then they go elsewhere and they cash in free agency.
Yep.
He doesn't really need to listen to many people. He's got a lot of money banked. He's got a lot of money guaranteed in this new contract. I mean, it is going to be interesting. And that's someone that Volan, you know, not getting into details, but he said that from his sources in Baltimore, he was told that he would be a guy that was going to be somewhat prickly to deal with in Boston.
4 years for Judon, $56 million. He makes $32 million his first 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's so, real money.
He's in his prime. He's 28. He'll be 29 in August. But, you know, he's been a Pro Bowler the last 2 years. He's had 16.5 sacks the last 2 years. He's got to play well. And
Judon, yeah. Body built by Taco Bell.
Oh, there it is. Taco Bell body. Bill's going to love that. All right, he's number one on Reamer's most hated list. So not Judon, but Adalius Thomas. Number two, Albert Haynesworth. I remember this. I mean, Jerry was hated that right
away.
I am right.
God, I have a great memory.
Good memory. You nailed it?
Week two, they beat the Chargers 38-14. He had a 65-yard interception for a touchdown. And I remember it because Gil Santos, the great, the legendary Gil Santos, just said, look at that man run. Like, he was shocked at how fast he was running down the field.
That's Adalius Thomas.
Yeah.
Now, Haynesworth, would he be on your list?
Yeah, definitely. And that was in that sort of, there's this bizarre decade of non-titles within this organization.
Yep.
Where you had great guys like Mankins who couldn't seem to win, but then you had a guy like Haynesworth who, you know, was a reclamation project, but he got the money, he came here, and he just kept eating. Like, there was no upside to him, but I think number one...
They traded a fifth-round pick to Washington, July of 2011 for him.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't... Who cares about the fifth-round pick? But yeah, his he did not live up to any of the hype. And I think he fizzled out pretty quickly. I don't even know if he
did.
How many games he played.
That's the year they lost to the Giants again, right? So that was a Super Bowl year.
Right. But that team...
Super Bowl runner-up year.
Right, but I mean, That decade or so is just, you have these players that it's like Don Mattingly. You were a Yankee for 20 years and never won a title. You have Mankins, who's sort of the poster child of the great player, but never could win. But if you're a Patriots fan, isn't number one Mangini?
Yeah, Mangini's not on the list. This is all players on his list. Hold on, Mangini, for a second. Chad Jackson is Reamer's third.
Yeah, I don't know if he was hated.
Bust. It was hated for, like, not producing. Obviously, he was not here very long. Released during the 08 preseason. Jordan Richards is on the list, which is very strange. I guess just for being not Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
Is that his excuse? And then he kind of cops out and he uses the one bad play club, Rishe Caldwell and Wes Welker and Asante Samuel for drops. So take your pick. So it's not, okay.
Asante's drop is so bad. I think I've actually seen it twice, once live and one replay, and I haven't watched that game since.
Well, and that's in a Super Bowl, so it's huge.
And that was for a perfect season.
Or so, I mean, these are all playoff drops.
But Samuel had the huge interception. I mean, of all the, like, 07, there's never going to be a worse loss than the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl to the Giants. That's the worst loss of any sport, of any team I like in my lifetime. But the 06 Patriots, when they go into San Diego after beating Mangini and the Jets in the wild card, they go to San Diego and win a game they had, like, 50 different reasons why they should have lost it.
Yep.
That was the game Brady throws the pick. Troy Brown forces a fumble on the pick. They go down the field, they score, and then they get down, and Brady throws a beautiful pass to, I think, Caldwell. Sets up a field goal for Vinatieri that wins the game. But that AFC Championship game, they're up 21-3 in the first half as Peyton throws a
pick six
to Asante Samuel down the sideline, and they blow it in the second half. And that would have been the easiest Super Bowl of all time.
So would you put Asante Samuel, Rashay Caldwell, or Wes Welker on the most hated Patriots list?
No, because you can't say Sam. I mean, Asante had a lot of. I mean, he was great despite that.
And people
that
still love Welker somewhat.
I hate Welker.
Oh, you're okay. All right, well, fair enough.
That was a pathetic loss. Okay. They should have gotten revenge. They didn't because of him.
And by the way, a disclaimer on this: Aaron Hernandez was exempt, keeping it to on-field stuff. But you think Mangini's number one? That's actually a great call.
Yeah, he's definitely number one.
A couple texters about that. Bill Parcells.
No way.
Texter says, and Curtis Martin.
Why would Curtis Martin be hated? He was awesome here.
I don't know.
Because he signed with the
Jets?
Yeah,
didn't stick around.
No, I Bill Parcells. Who hates Bill Parcells because of the Super Bowl and calling the Jets? Is that what the point would be?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have this organization the way it is without Parcells.
Parcells, I feel like, is more beloved as the years go by. People, including Butch Stearns leading the campaign, wants him into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Desperately.
But there's been a very similar impact on Parcells, the one that we've seen this past year with Brady and Belichick, Brady leaving and having great success.
Yeah.
The six Super Bowls for Bill without Parcells, and the fact that Parcells never won a Super Bowl without Bill on his defensive staff sort of hurts his legacy.
At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Thank you, Bill. Let's go to John in Southie here. On
Kenny Curtis.
John. Johnny.
Yo, hey, what's up?
What's going
How are
on?
You?
Good.
So, I'm a big person and believe in the truth. I've listened to you, Ken, all week about who the Patriots have for wide receivers.
Yep.
All right. If I'm not mistaken, the year that we had Antonio Brown, everybody thought we were going to go to the Super Bowl because we had a stacked team. What happened after Antonio Brown left? Belichick traded just about everybody until you got what you had for the 2019 wide receiver.
So you're talking about the Mohamed Sanu and who else? Philip Dorsett?
Right. Mohamed Sanu came later.
Okay.
But you kept saying one particular person's name. We got him. We traded. These are the D. Can you help me out here, Curtis?
I don't know.
Like five times yesterday.
So you're talking about the 2019 Patriots, the last year of Brady you're talking about.
Right, the last year of Brady.
And his weapons compared to Cam last year. Josh Gordon?
Wait. Nope, because Josh Gordon was out injured. Then he came back. They let him go.
I think he means Sanu.
I'm struggling with what the point is.
I don't know. I don't know what the point is, John. Sorry. Get that more coherent and come back. Yesterday we were talking about Brady's weapons compared to Cam's in 2019 and how they were. Where's it apples to apples?
No, of course not.
Edelman played all year.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway, I think you're right, but I think a better one from a texter here, Gronk.
No.
I do think that there are Pats fans that are.
Gronk is hated?
The CBD. The messing with them, saying, making you think he was coming back, and then the second Brady signed.
If that's true, that is so stupid. They tried to trade him. They tried to trade him.
I'm not saying I hate the guy. I love him. He scored two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. I'm saying that
he just had a thing with Mego. He just dedicated a park on the
that is true
on the Charles.
He may be the most charitable athlete in Boston.
He's a good
memory.
Guy. I mean, he's harmless.
He's not harmless. I mean,
Gronk is the top five most hated Patriot of all time.
So what do you think the Patriots could have gotten a bye in 2019 in the playoffs if Gronk played?
Yeah, and who told him not to sign? Brady said, sit out the year and come sign with me.
If you
want to
say Brady's hated, we could do it.
Yeah, that's a good call. Brady should be up there. Vote for Terry Glenn.
No.
Vote for Brandon Spikes.
Why, because he left his Mercedes on the side of the road?
Vote for Josh Gordon. Speaking of Josh Gordon.
Yeah, he sucks. But no, I would say that the most hated Patriot of the last 20 years is easily Eric Mangini. And I mean, I don't think there's a close second.
We've had Mangini on a couple times, right?
No, he won't come on.
Oh, he won't come on?
We've had Tannenbaum, but we haven't had, I think it was Houston when the old show I was out, there was it was on Fox that year. And so they had the whole Fox setup and Mangini was doing The Herd and maybe Undisputed or whatever else. So I just waited outside until the show ended to try and see if he would come on our show or record an interview that day. And he's like Boston. He's like, nope, no interest. We'll never talk to Boston. Nope.
Interesting.
And he's like, totally. Like, he will never. And I said, if all you do is you come on, you say, you know, you're sorry, and you move forward. Like, you're just going to never talk to us again? He's like, no, thanks.
Thank God we had Tomasi on.
Here, he was employed for 3 years.
Mangini was in an episode of The Sopranos, which is one of the most hilarious things. The Mangini
right.
in the corner. So he peaked there. All right, let's get to trending. Also on the way, we must discuss, at least, can I just have a couple minutes to discuss the Brady thing?
Yeah.
Because I have people on my side. You loaded the audio in to support me, but you know it has to be addressed.
Right.
This legendary torn MCL season narrative that is being spun by TB12 organization.
And let me say, the Patriot that is calling him out on this should never comment on how somebody comes back from an injury.
That's what this is going to become.
GNC Ninkovich.
A N'Keal Harry vote. Quickly becoming top of the most. That's a good call. Could N'Keal Harry, especially with this whole trade demand, and now he's going to show up?
Yeah, he's definitely had a Jordan Richards.
Yeah, I would agree. Do the list again, Reamer. Put N'Keal Harry on there. Let's get the trending.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
You know, I think Josh McDaniels deserves a lot of credit, kind of figuring out what he can and can't do and hides his deficiencies, so... I mean, they're 6-6. Has it worked?
Yeah, this could be a lot worse. This could be so much worse than it is right now. And if anything, you got to give that coaching staff a ton of credit. You figure you lose Dante Scarnecchia, you lose Joe Judge, so there's two significant losses. You have the volume of guys that you have opt out that end up opting out. You had Tom Brady leaving, and whoever takes over for Tom Brady has to deal with that legacy and those expectations. And the two guys that they were going to go into this season with, a quarterback, you know, we don't know how well that would work out, but the little bit that we saw, it didn't look like it was going to be going to be very good at all. And they're 6-6, but they're two plays away from being 8-4.
How about that? Time for the corrections department of Kenny Curtis. Curtis dead wrong. Eric Mangini there with OMF last December.
Jeez.
After you said he'd never been on and wouldn't come on. Not only did he come on, he licked Bill's boots.
Well, that's what
talking about being 6-6 and a couple wins away from being 8-4.
All these guys lick the boots in hopes that one day they'll be welcome back.
What was that after? That must have been after the Jets win or something like that. I have to look back at that. December 10th.
Well, I didn't remember because it was a mystery who the guest was. What a segment for a year.
And quick correction. The expansion list for the Bruins has to be in by 5 p.m. today. So the Boston Bruins protected player list, protect your players from the Seattle Kraken, has to be in by 5 o'clock today, not tomorrow. So that's big. And the Open Championship's on. We haven't been updating it at all. When do the leaders tee off?
10:55.
Okay.
I think Spieth is in about 10:45, and then the leaders are 10:55.
All right, we'll keep that going. Now, Brady. Let's get to Brady. God, I really try, and I've tried to hold off on this for an hour and 40 minutes. I try not to bring him up because it comes up every week on the show. Okay, Now it's MCL gate. Okay, you have Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. So speaking of bootlicker, God, since Brady has gotten there, he has just humped Brady's leg from left to right, start to finish.
What would they rip?
Well, first of all, he was enlisted right out of the gate. It's enlisted COVID workouts in a park in Tampa. But anyway, that's a separate story.
The safest place to be during COVID was outside. Yeah, okay, if only our health officials understood that at the time.
Outdoors is pretty good. Maybe Brady did the research ahead of time. But this MCL thing, you've got to admit, this is a little unnerving, even for you. First, let's hear experts talk about it before I discuss this, okay? Because these are two former NFL players, prominent NFL players, before you start to disparage Ninkovich, friend of the Greg Hill Show. Ninkovich on ESPN and Bart Scott, who are just basically laughing. They're doubled over in laughter at the notion that playing with a partially torn MCL is anything significant that should be discussed. When Brady, by the way, was not on the injury report all year long and somehow played through it. But here's Get Up yesterday, where Greeny's trying to get them to tell him how severe the injury is.
To play through an MCL injury isn't crazy. I think every single football player has played through some type of injury, especially an MCL, which is probably the least most important part if it's not like a grade 3 tear. You put a tape job on it, you put your Donjoy brace on, and you go play football. That's what everybody does. So, Tom, playing through injury, yes, very tough, but a lot of people play through injuries.
The urban legend continues to grow for Tom Brady. Sure. Next, they're going to tell me he played with acid reflux, an upset stomach, and a splinter in his thumb the entire season.
No, that's a good line. So defend your boy here, who continues to push this narrative now that he's some Superman, who's Willis Reed, who's played through a catastrophic thumb issue again.
Did he not play with a torn MCL last year?
I'm sure there was a partially torn ligament in the MCL.
I'm talking about open heart surgery here.
Right, exactly.
So you admit that he played with a partially torn MCL at the age of 43 and won a Super Bowl.
Does that sound significant to you, playing through a torn MCL?
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. All I know
is if
I'm Rob Ninkovich, I'm not lecturing other people on how they return from an injury when you cheated to get back from an injury. So, like, that is not exactly a hill I'd want to die on if I'm Rob Ninkovich.
But it's obviously such a work. Who's this being leaked out by, first of all? Brady's camp. They leaked it out to Volan, I guess, or Stroud. We kind of already knew this back in February.
Well, he had surgery. He didn't have surgery to, like, fix his nasal passage. Right. He had surgery on his knee.
So we knew this. It's old news.
Right.
But yet it's coming up again. Now they're trying to make it into something more than it is. It was, okay, everybody has, you heard Ninkovich, everybody plays through stuff.
If you want to say that Brady's wrong, you're doing the wrong side of this argument. You need to say that, I guess, allegedly, if you're listening to the people reporting this, that he didn't tell anybody within the Bucs that he had this issue. That's a problem. If you're Brady.
Well, no, the point is it's not an issue. That's the whole point. It doesn't matter if it wasn't on the injury report. It was a partially torn ligament that you can play through. Elway played the whole year without a torn ACL, his whole career without an ACL.
Okay, great. You know, and my grandfather was in Guadalcanal, and he fought to the death. So I'm never going to be him.
The Tampa Bay Times coming out. The legend continues to grow for TB12. He played the entire season on a torn MCL. TB12 Sports, this is just totally shameless. They subtweeted with, and didn't miss a play, wink. Pliability plus recovery equals longevity. Hashtag TB12 method, hashtag keep going. And then they continue on. Whether you're trying to win a Super Bowl through an injury or get through life without pain, we've got you covered. Buy a TB12 session here.
So
doesn't your skin just crawl It's just so awkward.
So let me ask you this. Would you rather Tom Brady hawk Pizza Hut and Budweiser? Would that be better for society if that was what he was behind? He's telling America, you got to have a Bud after the game because I won the Super Bowl, and call Papa John, the racist ass.
Well, he's now doing Subway ads on top of it, right? Is that real, by the way? Is Brady really a Subway pitchman? Or is that just...
He's going to be in it without the actual product.
Oh, God.
Anyway, but so I don't know what the people get famous, they get successful, and they advertise product. They are spokespeople for products.
Yeah, but it's so fake. I mean, this is 2 weeks after he said 90% of what I say I don't mean. So he admits that I'm totally fake. And then now he and his people are just, it's such corporate BS. I played the whole year through a torn MCL.
What great athlete?
I am great. What? I am awesome.
Okay.
The Brady legend continues. Buy Pliability products here. Buy a TB12 session here.
Let me know when I can ask you a question.
Go ahead.
What great athlete is not corporate? Was Michael Jordan not corporate. The guy sold like more things
than I've ever seen. Where you, it's just not like, it's not sleazy. You know, there's a way to just What is sleazy? They're playing this up like it's the greatest accomplishment in sports history to play through a partially torn MCL.
It's not Tom Brady's choice or
it's not Brady's choice.
It's not his fault that people are taking this and running with it.
Oh my God. There's just like deep reportings going on right now. Rick Stroud's like somehow got a source in like a medical examiner's office.
Do you think it's noteworthy
Brady had a great injury last year. He's not telling us.
He had surgery, Ken. Yeah. Everybody knew he had surgery.
Everybody knew it, and then they're now leaking more. It's like tactically done. That's even worse.
Yeah, well, if somebody has an off-season surgery and he shows up to camp, odds are somebody's like, hey, what was that about? You'd tell him.
What a hero.
Do you think it's newsworthy that Tom Brady played with this or no?
No.
You wouldn't report this if somebody said this to you.
It's so not newsworthy. Brady himself and the Bucs didn't report it on the injury report last year. That's evidence it's not newsworthy.
Okay.
This is not news.
Has this been the lead story nationally for 24 hours?
It's been the lead story, yes.
So that's
football talk.
That's newsworthy, Ken. I don't know what they taught you at Northeastern, but if it's on the news, it's newsworthy.
It's newsworthy to me because of the spin that they're trying to push, and that's why the reaction from Ninkovich and Bart Scott is we're laughing at this.
Yeah, there's jealousy. It causes people to behave in very strange ways.
I would rather watch Cam Newton a whole year.
Good. Enjoy it.
And watch Brady again.
I'm gonna go tear my MCL right now.
You have an MCL after all that alcohol?
I have no idea. I think it's just like a small liver.
All right, is the Brady injury a big deal? Do you agree with Ninkovich and Bart Scott that it is not a big deal? This is a total nothing burger.
Did you ever rip, name the athlete for being bought and sold by everyone? I mean, look at Michael Jordan. Look at Peyton Manning. Look at all the great athletes, LeBron James. They are bought and sold by corporate America.
Peyton made it fun. Peyton was a good pitchman.
Oh, so you'd rather have Maya buy a Budweiser than buy a pliability ball.
Okay, yeah, that's what it's about. It's about pitching the product.
Well, the product that he chose is kind of important, no?
What's wrong with drinking?
You're ripping Brady because you think the product he's selling doesn't work.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you are. You're saying that this is all a total farce, that the TB12 plight.
You just don't have to hit everybody over the head with a hammer every day. Like it's just
so you can watch a commercial set during a football game, any commercial set, not hear Peyton Manning say, chicken parm, you taste so good.
Cut that meat.
I like the sandwich.
Cut that meat.
And you've never ripped
it. It feels
him for
authentic.
That.
Peyton feels like an authentic pitchman. Brady,
because he's a boob.
Well, what's that matter?
That he's selling things that boobs buy. Tom Brady has an Aston Martin. Tom Brady has a pliability ball. He's above that. He's not part of that world.
Plus, this is going beyond. This is like trying to you're pitching something, but now you're doing it in an almost an illicit way. You're saying,
okay, this is the third time you said illicit. What's illicit about this?
You're trying to portray it as you overcame something on the field last year that mattered, when that's not true in this case. I'm not saying it's like concussion water, but it's taking something that's not real and trying to make it real.
What isn't real? He had surgery.
That he overcame something significant on the field last year.
So he didn't have surgery.
I'm sure he had surgery.
And at the time,
it was so severe, he waited a whole year to have the surgery. And then Ninkovich and Bart Scott say it doesn't matter. Everybody plays on this stuff.
So, next time, before we come to a resolution, let's call Ninkovich and Bart Scott to get their thoughts on it.
Okay.
Because Bart Scott's not biased on Brady. You don't think he's biased?
Well, why would Ninkovich be biased?
Okay, you did another Wiggy deflection. You don't think Bart Scott?
That was mostly Ninkovich. Bart Scott's a little biased, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
What about Ninkovich?
Ninkovich is a henchman for Bill.
Let's go to Bill and Newton. Hello, Bill.
Ken, haven't you learned yet? Haven't the Bart Scotts of the world learned? You're hating on this guy. Nationally, it's going to start that way. People are going to start hating on Brady because of this injury thing, and it's just going to motivate him to win another one. And you're going to hate it. It's going to bug you because you hate Brady. But this is what Brady wants. He wants people like you hating on him so that he can go out, train harder, and win number 8.
Maybe that's true. Maybe he's fishing for haters. He's basically
no.
He's
you guys are turning it into the haters, and this is just going to motivate him even more. This didn't have to go that route. I mean, if you think playing on an MCL is so easy, then everybody just go out and remove their ACL or their MCLs because they don't need it.
Maybe they apparently could. That's what Ninkovich said. That's basically what Ninkovich said.
Exactly, because those guys are freaking dopes, and they're on ESPN, and they need something to talk about. I mean, Bart Scott, are you kidding me? Give me a break. So anyway, this is great haterade for Brady. He's going to use it to motivate him. They'll probably win another one. Fact.
I mean, it's just so beneath what I thought Brady was. It's more evidence that this guy is just
I really
everything I, now. If that caller's right, He's trying to piss people off on purpose.
It's just a trap that idiots like you just keep falling into because you are so blinded by rage for the success that this guy has had.
I'm not blinded by rage. Yes. I just wish he would just stop.
Why should he
yourself, stop trying to put yourself in a story that's not a story?
I thought we were a capitalistic society. Tom Brady has the greatest story you could ever tell.
Just enough.
About
enough,
a guy enough that of, is overcoming. Has a 40-year-old ever won a playoff game until Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl?
Warren Moon.
So you look at this guy. He's doing things that are unprecedented. He had surgery after the year, and it gets released.
Do you think it's a big deal?
Do you think Patrice Bergeron is a bitch who's just doing corporate shilling when he tells the media that he played on a collapsed lung in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Oh, my God. You barely hear a peep from Patrice Bergeron. You're going to compare Brady to Bergeron?
So how does Dale get it?
Bergeron is so understated and classy. He is the opposite of Brady. The total opposite.
I'm talking about Bruins players.
He's what every athlete should aspire to be. St. Patrice.
Yeah, maybe he'd win more if he was more like Brady. But he after the conclusion of the season, does Dale, like, sneak into the doctor's office and find all the injuries the guy's had? I never hear you saying, why are we hearing all about all these injuries now at the conclusion of the season? Guess what? At the end of the season, when there's no more games to play, Marshawn gets surgery, Brady gets surgery, and then you find out what they were getting surgery for.
When PB37 starts subtweeting stories about collapsed lung and curing collapsed lungs,
but you're
how
not
great I am.
But you're not talking about TB12. You're talking about this. Why is this information getting out there? And what I'm telling you, when it comes to the injuries to superstars, you always find out about them at the end of the season.
We're up against it. We have calls on this we'd like to get to. If this bothers you as it does me, 617-779-7937. If you're part of the Brady cult like Curtis, you can text 37937.
If you like watching greatness, give us a call.
This is Kenny Curtis on EEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
To play through an MCL injury isn't crazy. I think every single football player has played through some type of injury, especially an MCL, which is probably the least most important part if it's not like a grade 3 tear. You put a tape job on it, you put your DonJoy brace on, and you go play football. That's what everybody does. So, Tom, you know, playing through injury, yes, very tough, but a lot of people play through injuries.
Ninkovich forgot a little step there. For him, it was to get another supplement at GNC, but this is hilarious. I'm looking back to 2016 when the story broke. I mean, Jeff Howe, man. He tweeted this, 2:43 p.m., September 2nd, 2016. Ninkovich's failed test occurred midsummer, as Ninkovich told ESPN. Another source is adamant it was an over-the-counter supplement.
What an ad hominem attack this is. It's Ninkovich, as a football analyst, talking about the story of the day, which is shouldn't be the story of the day. That's the point. Brady and this torn ACL. But then you attack the man, Ninkovich.
Well, he's talking about an injury and playing through an injury.
So he's not qualified to speak on football injuries.
Well, he took a shortcut when he had an injury. I mean, what are you talking about?
Well, all the more to the point, he needed to take a shortcut for that injury.
Well, he tore this his triceps. What are you working out your triceps for?
Well, first I will stop looking around.
You're going to lock out.
But don't triceps, those shouldn't pop unless you're, you know, on horse steroids.
I don't know. These guys lift a lot of weights.
A lot of guys that blow out their biceps are heavy on the juice.
The least important part of the knee to play on. That's Ninkovich's analysis a professional football player, and I think it matters. And the whole point is it's more, again, this is not a hit job.
It was an over-the-counter supplement that landed him on the list?
Can we just focus on Brady? That's the story here. Kenny Curtis, by the way, on EEI. This is Tom Brady. Now, I don't hate Tom Brady. At least I never did. I got to admit, as the days go by, it's like, he's on my top five most hated Patriots list, if I had to put one down. There's no doubt about that. He's right there with Kyrie some days.
He's number two Wiggy.
He's a tough guy. He doesn't need this. This is so beneath him. Why would he and the corporation, and that's obviously behind it, when TB12 starts tweeting about it, probably Guerrero and his team and the team of workers at TB12 decided, you know what, this old story from February about the surgery, which everybody knew he had, let's make it even bigger than it was. And now let's frame it as Brady won a Super Bowl on a torn knee. When you've got people, experts in the field saying, basically, tape it up and you can play on it. Not that big of a deal. minor footnote. And so it was so minor, he was never on an injury report. And what's the most, he sold his house before the year began, put it up for sale, and he started to negotiate with other teams the Gronkowski package deal, which we found out that Gronk had the playbook a month before free agency started. He was calling other teams and saying, hey, wherever I go, I want Gronk to come with me.
Wait, so Gronk
and therefore
had the playbook?
He worked directly against the Patriots the year before and said, Gronk, don't come here, because he had checked out. He had mentally checked out. He was already gone.
Okay, 2 points. One, you've lost your mind. Number two, I'm not even going to like entertain that question, because I don't even know what you were talking about. That Gronk, Brady wasn't on the Bucks, and Brady, as we found out a couple months ago or weeks ago, Brady didn't want to go to Tampa. So I don't know how you're saying he's negotiating a package deal to Tampa during the season.
You don't think Brady and Gronk were a package deal, and everybody knew it.
I mean, maybe, I don't know, but he wasn't negotiating with Tampa during the season.
You don't think that's significant?
Okay, I'm picking apart elements of your argument that you just made. You said during the season that Tom Brady was actively shopping Gronk to Tampa.
I believe he was actively saying, Gronk, don't come back this year. Wait until next year.
Okay, maybe so. I have no way of proving that.
Well, that's pretty big. If a team, a playoff team who lost to the Titans had Gronk on their team.
Ken, I know. You
that,
just. You
that
just,
may have won your Patriots, who you used to root for, another title.
You just said that he was actively shopping Gronk during the season. That is categorically false.
Well, it's probably true, actually. Gronk said he had the playbook a month before they signed.
Gronk says a lot of things. He's an absolute boob. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and secondly, Tom Brady had surgery after the season. It is par for the course for any athlete who has surgery at the conclusion of the season to talk about it when they get back to camp. What
we
was
haven't
it?
Even got
are
back
you
to camp yet. Wait till that happens. He'll step it up another notch next week.
There's a warrior spirit about me.
You're right, great call, Nick.
And do you think
warrior
that
spirit
about Ndamukong Suh, Mike Evans, players on Chris Godwin are saying that he's being selfish right now?
They're probably tired of it. They're like, oh, my God.
They're tired of it. They don't want Tom to be their quarterback.
I bet you
year.
I remember that defense, Devin White included, is like, oh, my God, let's credit Brady more. Did I have a great year or not?
Did you see Devin White on the field after the Super Bowl basically humping Tom Brady saying,
well, nobody's
you got
talked
us
about
here?
Him since. Nobody's talked about Devin White since.
Devin White since? When would they have talked about Devin White?
Why wouldn't you? If they're a Super Bowl championship team, they should be getting the praise. That defense was historic in their run. Well, they held the Chiefs to 9 points in the Super Bowl?
I think Devin White is widely felt to be a top linebacker in the NFL.
Nobody talks about him because all you hear is Brady MCL this, Brady MCL that. He's on a jet ski here.
Okay,
he's
the
a
MCL
Braves
got brought up 3 days ago.
Brady is so unrelatable. It's just unbelievable. Does he think people beat this up?
I don't even understand how this offends you. He had surgery. It got reported what he had surgery for. Isn't that what you're curious?
Who leaked it out?
I have no
idea.
Who
was curious? Who was possibly curious? And then,
if you're a fan of the Buccaneers, you know Tom Brady had knee surgery. You want to know what it was for. I think that's interesting. It was the biggest story in the country, so clearly people agree with me and not with you.
Not this texter. 617. Funny thing is, Curtis, you probably do have a torn MCL. It's the most common and least serious of knee issues. Just more snake oil TB12 propaganda.
It's in my book.
Okay.
Yeah, go buy it.
Yeah. Curtis doesn't even have an MCL. Maybe if he did, he'd be tougher. I think I did get concussed once when I was at Rivers, but I wasn't playing football at the time.
Let's go to Steve in the truck. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, are you guys in the studio?
Yes, sir.
Ken, I love you, but I want to come down and beat the living hell out of you.
Jesus.
No, really, Ken. Honest to God, I don't know how Chris does it every week. You have so deranged. He's 43 years old. How many 43-year-old guys have played for an MCL in any sport? Tell me. Give me one.
Did you hear Ninkovich say it's nothing?
Ninkovich is an idiot. He's a friggin' steroid freak. That's what he is. Jeez. I don't take anything he says to heart because he's a moron. Okay?
Steve.
How good was he?
Brady was pretty good last year.
I thought he was pretty good. He won a Super Bowl, Ken.
Yeah, the defense was great, and
he was
part of it.
You guys can't take it because your big hero, Belichick, dropped the ball starting with the Philadelphia Super Bowl. And it's everything snowballed since then. So you got this Tom Brady arrangement and you kiss Belichick's ass.
Well, Brady fumbled at the end of the game. It was probably the torn MCL.
He didn't fumble the ball. He was strip sacked. There's a lot of big difference there. Fumbling the ball is having the ball taken out of your hands by, you know, going down or something. He was strip sacked from behind. So don't give me fumble the ball. He also threw for 505 yards, set a record. And that great defense couldn't hold a stiff of a quarterback. What did he do? How many touchdowns did he throw?
You're right about that.
How many, I know I'm right. So don't give me that.
But
Ken,
Steve,
I love you,
but Steve,
but please,
Steve,
you got to get off this.
Steve, don't you respect the old Brady more? You remember the old pocket of protection Visa commercial did with the linemen when it was a team guy? He was coming out of the tunnel as a team in the 0-1 Super Bowl. Yeah. That was Brady. That was like, this guy is unbelievable.
It's still Brady.
That was the beginning
Careers
of his career.
Right. It's
he was the beginning of his
that's
career.
That's the point. He became selfish.
Yeah,
he became
no
weird.
No one stays that way. Tell me, who doesn't become? Ted Williams was booed in this town. I remember. I'm an old guy. I watch him. Yes,
he's
was.
He's freezing right now.
He used to give the fans the finger. He was so mad with the way they treated him.
By the way, thanks for the call, Steve. And 83 Leo in Birmingham, I might help you beat him up after
Steve
the show.
Off. He was on a roll there.
So
that's my buddy.
I typed in, I'm just going through typing in athletes and surgeries because this is the first time we've ever heard about a professional athlete having knee surgery. This is the lead in Sally Jenkins' Washington Post column, 2013. At first, when Peyton Manning woke up from the anesthesia, he was relieved. The pain in the neck that had lived with him for years was gone. As he came to, he stirred in the hospital bed.
So you're happy that Brady has sunk to Peyton Manning levels.
And started to push himself upright. Then it happened. His right arm buckled beneath him. Surprise! He struggled again to sit up, and at that moment, he understood his career was in jeopardy. I mean, come on!
So you're happy that Brady's not
How'd
doing the same thing?
How'd she find that out? Was she in the surgery? Was she in the room with him when he was getting surgery on his herniated disc?
Was that unsettling to you?
No, none. This is what happens when you're an elite player. People canonize you. They make you into these things that you're not.
Canonize you.
It's true. I mean, that's what we do with our athletes in America. Are you new here?
Nick, what about the Philip Rivers?
Philip Rivers playing through a torn ACL in the 2007 playoffs?
Yep. Nobody remembers that.
Yeah, Brady kicked his ass in the AFC Championship game. I think he had like one. That was more embarrassing because you had LaDainian Tomlinson sitting on the sideline with a runny nose.
How embarrassing has Brady become? 617-779-7977.
Then it happened. His right arm buckled beneath him.
How embarrassing has Curtis become?
He struggled again to sit up, and at that moment, he understood his career was in jeopardy.
Hour three, Ken and Curtis on the way. This is WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.